fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and God bless you. I want to continue to talk about the first chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, a beautiful hymn, really, to what God has done for us in Christ and the life that he's called us to. The reason I'm reflecting on it, one is it's just beautiful, but it gives us a picture. Paul declares to us, you might say, as he's giving thanks to God in this letter, he declares to us who we are in Christ. And it's such an important thing for us to be able to know, especially in my mind, to know today in the world that's almost every place I go as I travel around the country, everybody feels, and in some way, is fighting to stay out of the grip of, or they're in the grip of, the kind of anxiety and the fear that seems to be dominating the culture. Political confusion that's present, the constant fighting and division. People feel very destabilized, but it's not just that. It's also the deconstruction of lots of things in our culture, which were stabilizing in the past, very important anchors of our culture and our way of life. People just feel like we're living a kind of whirlwind of change, and they don't know where it's all going. And we're losing sight of really fundamental things. You know, what it is to be human, what it is to be a man, what's it to be a woman, what's a family, what's just things being thrown up in the air and everything being reduced to and falling subject to the new great good in society, which is the capacity, the radical capacity, and the redefinition of human freedom and choice, and everything falling under the umbrella of self-creative freedom. Everybody's pursuing the definition for themselves of the meaning of life and who they are and the rest of it. I've talked about that on the program many times, but living in a culture like that, it's chaotic, it's confusing, and it really is a culture at war against God more and more, and the ways of God, and the mind of God, and the plan of God. And we've bought the lie, we've drank the Kool-Aid that somehow we're not going to be able to solve our problems. We're not going to be able to find the happiness that we seek. We're not going to be able to reach the fulfillment that we desire if we rely on God's perspective, God's revelation about who we are. That the Christian thing, the Judeo-Christian thing, the God thing is fundamentally limiting. It's a myth. It undercuts my freedom. It locks me down into an image of myself that I don't want, and what I'm beginning to hear in the world is if I just break loose of all that and I grab hold of the steering wheel myself and I put myself squarely in the driver's seat and I take control of my life all the way down to defining for myself and claiming that precious thing in modern life of choice. What I choose for my life is good by virtue of the fact that I've chosen it. Because I have made the choice. I'm the designer. It doesn't matter what the object is. We used to say, you know, a good life is a life that's lived according to the plan of God or to fundamental human values that people understood. And the object of my choice was what helped define the goodness of the choice, what I was actually choosing. But it's all gotten turned on its head in the modern world to say, it's good because I have chosen it. Just by virtue of the fact that I made the choice, therefore it's good. I call it good, therefore it's good. And I demand everybody now in society to genuflect to my choices. That is to accept my definition of my personal good. It's completely radical. Instead of having a common understanding of society that there are objective goods that we're all pursuing. And the man or the woman who pursues those things, not only for their own personal gain, but for the good of others, their family, their community, that's what determines the goodness of an act and what a good person does. But we've just thrown that all out because that's all inhibiting, because what's happening is in that someone else is telling me how I'm supposed to live, and that's not happening anymore. I mean, take, for example, a few weeks ago, the New York Times, long, wordy article was written about the wonders of open marriage. There was a whole set of people in the cultural elite that are pushing forward the idea that, you know, monogamy is just not natural. And it's a burden. It's too much to ask. And mature people can come together who are married and say, you know, let's recognize this fact that you can't give me everything I want. I can't give you everything that you want. And let's just be mature about this. You go ahead and pursue other relationships. We'll stay together. I'll pursue other relationships and we'll just be mature about it. So it's then described as, again, being mature, being enlightened, even loving in different ways, radically opposed to revelation, to God's plan and purpose. Male and female, he made them. And the Genesis passage, cling to one, right? They'll cling to one another. The two become one flesh. There's a unity there that's meant to last forever. It becomes the foundation, the home to bring children, eternal creatures into the world. And the couple together lay down their lives for one another and imaging the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and understanding what real love is, the love that's given to us by God that we see fully revealed in Jesus Christ and his life, but perfectly revealed on the cross, that no greater love is a man that he lay down his life for his friend. That's the model for husband and wife, to lay our lives down even to the point of death. We really covenant. We imitate God. We understand this is what we're made for. This is the kind of love. This is what love is. This is what real love is. And it's in that communion, in that love, that we bring children into the world and we live in it. That's what we're seeking to live. But the world now is turning that all on its head. It's more about me. And in this case, it's really about lust. It's about exalting lust as some kind of value. And then here we are and say, no one can tell me that this is not good. And no one can even tell me that this is not loving, because I choose for myself what is good and what's loving. So that's the world we're up against. And it's incredibly important to be able to understand who we are in Christ. I'm not surprised when the world acts worldly. I'm not doing these shows to impose my way or God's way on people who don't have any interest in it. I hope they listen. I hope they understand and can see and be touched by what God has for their lives as well. But my concern is for Catholics and for the Christians, people who have been baptized into Christ, who seem to be in larger numbers being seduced by the broader culture to live not according to Christ and the way of life that he's given to us, but we're slowly having our minds darkened and falling in again to what St. Paul would describe as the empty futility of a darkened mind. Beginning to think again as if, for example, my radical independence is some objective good, making the kind of choices that society is making that somehow is going to benefit me, when in fact it's going to lead ultimately to separation from God and to destruction of my own life. So I want to pick up yesterday where I left off in a brief section here of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul was just talking about giving praise to God here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And he told us, you have been chosen by God in love to live a new life in Christ, and you are destined. You're chosen and destined. So understand who you are. You have a new identity, and you have a new power and a new capacity to lay hold of this new life that you've been given in Christ as a gift. And the destiny is to share in what belongs to him. And you're called to follow in his footsteps, which means that you're set apart for God. You're called to be holy and blameless. That is really without stain of sin. And that the Lord is going to help us every step of the way to move in that direction, to become more like him in this life. And that we ought to have our mind and hearts in earnest, set on this way of life and with great, great expectation and a heart that's wide open to God's purposes. Because we know if we look at our own lives, we don't have to be discouraged of our weakness and our sinfulness. He knows exactly who we are, and we rejoice because God is the God of the impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Even bringing Peter Herbeck, a sinful, fallen, dysfunctional creature, into sonship in the Father, and ultimately to lead me to glory by his power. But it's important that we cooperate with his power if we're going to enter into our destiny. So here's verse 11 and following. It says, in him, that is in Christ, according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will. God accomplishes all things according to what his will and counsel are. Verse 12, we who first hoped in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. Meditate on that one this whole week, that just that one line, who are you? I'm one of those who have been called to hope in Christ. Those who have first hoped in Christ, Christ gives me hope. Hope is the confident expectation of the fulfillment of my life. How do I know? My life has a destiny, and there's a possibility of my life reaching fulfillment because I can see it in Jesus. I can see it in Jesus Christ, the Lord, who's risen at the right hand of the Father. There's my destiny. That's my home. That's what's being offered to me, and that's what's being offered to you. That's really where you're going. Even if the circumstances of your life don't make it very easy for you to see that, we have to remember, we're in a fallen world. We live, there's a new power in you, and we live with new eyes, the eyes of faith. And we can see through eyes of faith who we are, where we're going, and what God has given to us. And as when we see it in faith, that means we trust, we believe, we surrender our lives to the promise that God has given to us in Christ. It's a promise that we receive and that we can see in faith. And we radically abandon ourselves, not to my own radical autonomy, but to a radical surrender to God. You can see why, how wicked some of the values that are emerging in the culture really are, and the impulse and the drive to break away from any kind of submission or obedience or yielding to God or to receiving from God. Our Creator, who we actually are, receiving our identity and our purpose and our destiny. Instead, we insist that we're going to name it all and create it all for ourselves, and we expect God to salute it. We expect God to sign off on it and to himself genuflect to it because we have made the choice. We expect God to bow to our choice, our sovereign will, rather than each one of us to yield ourselves to the sovereign will and purpose of God. It's a really important thing to be able to see. And so here's Paul. We who have first hoped in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. So what is this new way of life all about? And who am I in relationship to it? Well, I know this much. Having been born again through baptism into Jesus Christ, I know without a doubt that I have been destined and I have been appointed by God himself to live a new way of life. And what is that new way of life? What's at the heart of it? To live now for the praise of the glory of God. That's why I'm alive. That's the purpose of my life. So you say, what does that mean? How do I live for the praise and glory of God? Well, I follow in the footsteps of Christ. What does that mean? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors, yourself, and to join Jesus in making disciples of all nations. Make your life an offering to God. As Jesus showed us, he made literally his life an offering to the Father. That's why you're alive, friend. That's the purpose of your life. And God doesn't expect you to do it on your own willpower only, but to yield to the grace of the Holy Spirit so you can come into this new way of life. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.